It's always a good sign when I cry at the music. My life is always sort of determined by what the subject is for the month. Like Phil mentioned, it comes up for me every day before it comes on the agenda. And this past couple of weeks was a real exercise in spiritual well for me. And to figure out what to say about will, because it's not a subject I've ever really looked at particularly. And I wanted to explore what Ernest Holmes had to say. Ernest Holmes wrote the Science of Mind textbook. He founded this movement, which was an educational movement before it was a church, because he believed that the philosophy of Science of Mind could work within any religion, that if we understand how the laws of the universe work, that we can truly bring that knowing that we have of how to align ourselves with truth into every aspect of the world, including the religions that we participate in. So I am relying very heavily on what he said here, because during this time I looked into my heart and said, what do I want to say about will? And I thought, what I want to say is that God's will is for us to have a life better than we can possibly imagine. That's what God's will is for us. And so I began reading Ernest Holmes, and I found that he said the same thing. In Living the Science of Mind, he said, God's will for every person is happiness, peace, and joy. God's will for all creation is self-expression. Since creation is an expression of this invisible cause which we call God, nor can it be considered to be anything else. And he also said, God's will is toward life and more life. Life and more life. He said, in spiritual universe in you, God's will could not be different from God's nature. If we want to find out what the will of God is, we must find out what the nature of God is. If the nature of God is wholeness, the will of God is wholeness. If the natural order is beauty, we will discover that the will of God is toward the beautiful. It is toward living and not death, because the nature of God is life. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. The will of God is truth, beauty, love, happiness, and wholeness. Therefore, our intelligence bears witness that our inspiration is true. And so if we begin to think about will, and the will of God is being life more beautiful than we've possibly imagined yet, it makes the process of visioning that we do make sense. And for those of you who are new to study group or Science of Mind, what visioning is a process where we sit in meditation and open ourselves to be receptive to the higher consciousness of Source that's within us. And last month I gave a talk on the one mind, because what Holmes said and what many famous philosophers have said is that there is one mind, and we all live within the one mind, and that as we become expanded, we allow ourselves to experience more of that mind within our individual mind. And so we're grateful that we have this perspective that the whole is available to us, even as we are local and temporal, as we have a life that exists in a physical body and a personality. We also have an eternal life. Each of us, we are immortal now. We are infinite now. We are eternal now. The degree to which we are aware of that is the degree to which we live it. We may not be aware of it. We may think this body, this mind, this this personality is all there is. But the truth is much bigger than that. And Ernest Holmes taught it so powerfully, that the truth is that we are one with spirit. We are the wholeness, centered right here, right now. And as we gain greater awareness of it, as we become more conscious of it, we are able to live it more fully and more powerfully. So the consciousness that is available to us is endlessly expansive. And we are a choice. And that's what the concept of free will is. It is the capacity to choose where we focus our attention and our intention. And that's been so powerful in this study group, because we've come together to focus our attention and intention on expanding our consciousness, becoming more aware of that life that is beautiful, that's available to us, all of us, all the time. I talk about it often, and those of you who've been here before have probably heard me say it many times, but my friend Margie said to me, life is in the details, and there's something in every scene that sparkles. And as we look for the sparkle in the scene, whatever it is, then we can connect with that which is eternal, that light that God is, that appears everywhere. Now, I'm a visual person, so I think Kathy's a visual person too. The words of that song certainly reflect that. And as I connect with visual beauty, it's so easy for me to open my heart. And many of us, we see sunsets or mountains or oceans, and we just feel that connection to the infinite that allows us to expand, to loose the boundaries of our individuality and to appreciate our oneness with all it is. But that expansion is a choice, and we have the free will to make that choice or not make that choice. We can focus solely on the temporal. We can focus on that which ends and be sad at the endings. We can focus on that which changes and resist the change. Or we can recognize that we are eternal beings, endlessly changing, and at core, ever constant, at peace in the heart of God. And I have a sense of that constant peace. And I'm teaching a class right now on peace. And one of the focuses of the very first week was the idea that when we think about peace, we are not looking to create something that does not exist. We are looking to perceive something that is everywhere present. And so whatever the quality of God is, whether it be peace or beauty or love or light or grace or wonder, all joy, all of those things are everywhere present. They are not something we do to get to. They are something we be. And so as we relax into the being, we are able to be the peace. We are able to feel the joy and the love and the connection that is the truth of who we are. But it comes back to choice. It comes back to will. Because the mass consciousness that we live within is not always focused on beauty and joy, is not always thinking on things that are lovely and pure and true. The mass consciousness has a belief that if you focus on what's wrong, you'll be able to fix it. And in Science of Mind, we teach law of attraction, that if you focus on what's wrong, you get more of it. And that you have to focus on what's right in order to get more of what's right. And so if we focus on conflict, we feel conflicted, we bring more conflict into our own lives and probably attract more of it into our lives. Whereas if we focus on the beauty that exists in the world, the incredible peace that exists on this planet, There are more people living in peace on this planet today than there have ever been. In the history of the world, the history of mankind has been primarily about conflict and war and competition. And we do have a very peaceful world compared to what has been in the past. And if we focus on the fact that we live in peaceful neighborhoods, and that so many people on the planet are eating and have homes and feel loved and have small circles like this one where they know each other and they support each other, then for me it takes the sting out of the suffering of the world. And Ernest Holmes said, "The world has learned as much as it should through suffering." And when we are in ignorance of the law and of the ability to focus, we will attract that suffering into our lives because that's the experience of the mass consciousness. But that does not mean that we are bound to that. We are so free we can attract suffering, but we are also free to free ourselves from pain. And to choose to focus on the beautiful. To remember in as many moments as possible. And I don't claim to be perfect. Believe me. I have had my moments in the last 2 weeks of experiencing pain. But there is always that within me that knows that there is another choice that I can make. That I can find the something in the scene that sparkles. I can find the beauty in the eyes of the baby. And I'm a bit strange in my family. I have a different perspective than a lot of people in my family. And one of the neighbors of my mother has twins that are 5 years old. And they're so cute. They are just adorable. Nikki and Abby. And Dwight brought Nikki and Abby with him to the wake on Thursday night. And Nikki was curious about everything, and he wanted to know about what it was happening, and he wanted to know what was behind the curtain. And I knew what was behind the curtain, nothing. It was just a divider of the room between that room and the next room. And so I said, "You wait here, I'll show you what's behind the curtain." And I went around behind the curtain and I peeked my head out through the curtain and he went squealing to his father in delight. "Oh, it's so fun." And his father said, "Shh, that's not appropriate." And I thought, you know, that's me. I'm not appropriate. But one of the things that Abraham has said that's so powerful for me is he said, "Watch the children at the funerals. They'll look for any opportunity to play." And I'm one of the kids, so I looked for my opportunities to play. Because life is eternal, and we have access to those who we love eternally. We are in relationships. I think of them as millennial relationships because eternal is hard for me to get my mind around. But I can sort of imagine a millennium, and it spans lifetimes. I know that. And I believe truly that I'm in a millennial relationship with everyone I love. And that they are not lost to me when they are no longer here in the physical. They are here, able to be closer to me than they've ever been before because there is no separation in time and space. And my mom lived in Massachusetts and I didn't get to see her in the physical that often. Till the last year when I seemed like I was up there every other week. The experience of connecting with my mom, she's here with me any moment. I want to say hi to her now. And she's having such a good time. She's really joyful. And when I said to her, "Mom, who's there with you?" She said, "Everyone. Everyone, not just the people who are dead." She said, "All the people that I love are here. The people that are alive are still here." In our eternal nature, we are always conscious of our eternal nature. In our temporal life, we forget about that eternal life, but we have access to it as we choose to focus on the infinite. We choose to accept that life is eternal now and explore in our days what that means to us. How does that feel? What does that mean? And I was grateful to Mom for telling me that, because I didn't have that piece of the story yet, that she could feel us as clearly there as she could hear. And so I'm grateful that I can still feel her presence and share her wisdom now, and I know that I will carry that with me, continuing. So, back to Will. That's what I was supposed to be talking about today, and I am. In Questions and Answers on the Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes said, "Because the will is a directive, not a creative force, you should use your will to keep your mind and your thoughts focused. Do not use will in an attempt to force things to happen." So this is not will in the sense of my will is going to be imposed on your will. It's not power over other people and things. It's power as the truth of ourselves. And there's a very different thing between power over and power as. We're not coercing things. We're standing in our power, we're relaxing, and we're allowing life to unfold. And so a lot of people seem to see the difference between receptivity and will as opposites. You are either receptive or you're directive. And the truth, as I understand it, is that both of these are divine qualities. The ability to choose is a divine quality. The ability to receive is a divine quality, and we have them both. And so in some traditions, will is considered to be the divine masculine, the masculine energy, the energy of choice and focus. And receptivity is considered to be the divine feminine. And the choice of being receptive, hearing our guidance, allowing ourselves to connect to that which is more expansive than we are, through our meditation, through talking to our moms, however we do it, through reading brilliant people like Ernest Holmes, we have this capacity to understand more, to expand more, to be more for ourselves. And in doing that, we make the choice to be receptive. We bring that two qualities of God together and expand both of them. Because as we become receptive, we see more clearly what life could be. We know God's will as a more expansive life, a clearer vision, a more powerful dream that we can live. We feel that essence of the truth of us as one. It's not God's will imposed on my will. It's rather my will allowing the fullness of my being to be present on the planet. And so in our meditations, we feel guided, we hear understanding, we know something new, and we can take action on it, which is also the divine masculine. And so the divine masculine guided by the divine feminine, the choice to be receptive and the choice to take action on what we receive is the dance that Science of Mind is all about. It is not just speak your word and it is done. It is expand your mind into the most infinite perspective, the broadest perspective that you can experience, and then allow that fullness of your being to be expressed in the world, whatever that looks like for you. And we all bring love in our own way. It's so beautiful to see each person's expression. Now, Harriet does Love is Soup and spreadsheets, you know, as Kate does brownies and laughter. Each of us have something special that we bring that is unique to us, to our personality, to being God expressing, as Connie and David and Phil and Kathy. Kathy's expression today was so perfect. That love that we are is here to express. And there is something each of us have the capacity to express that no one else could do in the same way that we do. I didn't get to Jordan's opening this week because I was out of town Jordan's an artist, and each of us have that beauty within us that's eager to come forward, that love that we share, that vision that we see that no one else can see for us. And I don't feel it as a negative thing, you know, if you don't do it, nobody will ever do it. But if you don't do it, you won't have the joy of doing it. And that's the problem, you know, it's the opportunity to express the fullness of your being is the greatest joy that I know. And that's the gift that you all give to me every month when I get to come here and share what I've learned during the month about the subject. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity that your choice to be here gives me to choose to focus, because that focus enhances my life. And so I have a lot from Ernest Holmes that I will share with you in the brochure that's coming out in 2 weeks. And if you're not going to be in 2 weeks and you'd like to receive it, let us know and put your address maybe on the next page down of the treatment list, and we'll send it to you, because what he said was so brilliant. In How to Use the Science of Mind, he said, "The only willpower used in the process, if it could be called willpower, is a determination to keep the thought clear, to think about what ought to happen rather than what ought not to happen, to be actively aware of harmony rather than discord, to believe that good will always overcome evil as light dissipates darkness." So we focus on the beauty. We focus on the love. We focus on the opportunity to find gratitude and appreciation everywhere we go. And life begins to sparkle more and more fully. We look at Allison's expression and see how truly life sparkles in Allison's vision of the Science of Mind symbol. Life does sparkle, and I'm grateful. And so it is.
Thank you.
Thank you.